Chapter 15. The chief called for reinforcements to take George and his kids to the doctor while the rest of us went to check on the mid-bridge barricade. Honestly, I had seen so many roadblocks in the last few days, they were all starting to run together. They opened up their barricade and I drove the truck through and parked it on the side of the road. The doctor arrived and George's family was led off to one of the nearby buildings, a former restaurant by the looks of it. I made a mental inventory of the back of the truck, then walked back to the barricade armed with two pistols and plenty of magazines. "You don't have a rifle?" the chief asked. "We're about out of ammo for it," I replied. "I've got a couple of shotguns, but I'd rather have my pistols. I seem to do well with them."
"Up to you," he said, obviously more comfortable with his rifle.
He waved to his people who were milling about. "All right, everyone, listen up. We're going to take three vehicles and the backhoe that will be arriving shortly. That's a driver and a passenger/shotgun rider in each. Fred here," I nodded reluctantly, "will be in the lead vehicle since he's already been through there once. The plan is to clear up any remaining criminals, remove any blockage on the main thoroughfare, and reestablish our barricade on the landward end of the bridge. Once we've reached the other end of the bridge, we'll call back and have you move forward. The most dangerous time will be while our main force is in motion, so we'll want to make sure we're well dug in before we call back. So it may be a little while before we call. Any questions?"
"Yeah, chief," another man in a police uniform said. "Why don't we just take everyone and go in one large group? Wouldn't there be safety in numbers?"
"There might be, Collins," the chief said. "There also might be more criminals there than what Fred left behind. With only three vehicles, we can get turned around quickly and scamper back here pronto. Even if we get ambushed, there will still be a big group here that can defend the island. The worst-case scenario would be to take a big force and get hit by surprise by an even bigger one while we're disorganized. If they got past us, they'd be onto the island, and that's something I'm not going to let happen." The other man nodded, satisfied with the answer. "Anything else?" the chief asked. When no one else said anything, the chief said, "Mount up then," and we jumped into our cars. My driver's name was Tom Stevens, who was driving a year-old Mustang. "This is the car you want to go into battle with?" I asked. "You saw the bullet holes in my truck, right?"
"It may not be the one I want to get a bunch of holes in," Tom replied, "but it's the one that'll get us the hell out of trouble quickly if we need to."
I nodded. "I like the way you think." The chief walked past and handed me a set of binoculars. "If you're going to be our point person, you could probably use these."
"Thanks,"
I replied. "You ready?"
"To get shot at again?"
I asked. "Not particularly, although I find that it bothers me a lot less than it did a few days ago."
"You've had a busy few days."
"Too busy." "Well, once we're done, maybe you'll stay with us a few days."
"Maybe,"
I allowed.
"We'll see."
A large yellow backhoe drove up, driven by a man with a cowboy hat and a long stalk of grass between his teeth.
"Time to go," the chief said.
He turned and went to his car, a police cruiser complete with roof-mounted lights. Tom drove us to the barricade and the police cruiser pulled in behind us, followed by a large Suburban. The people at the barricade started the cars they were using to block off the end of the bridge and made a gap for us, and Tom slowly accelerated through it.
"Heard your story,"
Tom remarked, his eyes on the road.
"You were some sort of soldier, right?"
"Not that I remember," I replied. Not only didn't I remember being a soldier, I was pretty sure that soldiers didn't shoot fallen soldiers in the head. There was probably some rule of warfare that forbade doing that. If there wasn't, there probably should be.
"Just good at what you do."
"Yeah. Shooting people seems to be something I can do pretty well."
"You're on our side, though, right?"
This time his eyes came over to me and he looked intently at me for a second. "I'm on my side at the moment," I replied. "But I'm not going to kill you, if that's what you're worried about. These assholes," I pointed out in front of us, "have already tried to kill me once. I'm fine with killing them."
"You'll let me know if anything changes with that,"
I chuckled. "Unless or until you try to kill me, I have nothing against you and don't want to kill you.
Pull a gun on me, though, and we'll have issues.
Got it,
Tom said, smiling, as we drove up the rise in the bridge. Don't pull a gun on a person who's good at killing people. Think I can remember that? Then I think we'll get along just fine.
We crested the peak of the bridge and looked down to where the barricade was.
What do you see?
Tom asked, unconsciously slowing the car as we approached the danger area about a mile off.
Wrecked cars, I muttered, looking through the binoculars. Doesn't look like much has changed.
The police cruiser gave a bleep on its siren, and Tom stopped the car.
What have you got?
The chief asked as the car pulled alongside us.
Hard to see from here, I said. But it looks about like I left it.
I looked through the binoculars again.
I can only see one of the big trucks, though, so it looks like the other may have left.
But whether that's to flee or to bring reinforcements, I have no idea, I finished.
All right, he said. I have it from here.
He turned on his lights and siren and led us onto the barricade. I continued watching the area, ready to shout a warning, but didn't see anything moving.
Don't get too close to him, I said.
If the chief swings his car broadside, you don't want to T-bone him. Tom backed off a bit more, giving us some maneuvering room, then slowed as the chief approached the barricade.
Pull in behind him, I said when he started to go into the other lane.
But,
I pointed behind us, unless you'd like the backhoe to have to squeeze past you.
Oh, shit,
he said, whipping him back over behind the chief's car. The third vehicle pulled up alongside the chief's car.
Guess he didn't get the memo,
Tom said.
Nope.
I go ahead and turn around so we can leave quickly, just in case.
Good idea, he replied.
He spun the car around in a three-point turn and backed up behind the chief's car. When I got out of the car, the chief was already out of his and talking over his loudspeaker, using his door to shield him from any potential incoming fire.
Come out with your hands up. I repeat, this is Dauphin Island Chief of Police Dan Bradley. If there is anyone in the barricade, come out with your hands up.
Seven pairs of eyes stared at the mass of tangled cars. When the truck had run into them chasing me, he had closed off the path between them and jumbled them up pretty well.
Last chance, the chief called. If I or any of my deputies see anyone alive when we come in, we will shoot first and ask questions later.
The chief waved us over.
Tom, you and Fred go around to the right. Hector, you and Juan go to the left. Rod, you and I are up the middle, assuming we can find a way through it.
Are you deputizing me? I asked.
Will you do what I tell you when I tell you?
The chief asked.
Go to the right and shoot any of them I see?
Correct, he said.
I nodded.
Congratulations, you're a Dauphin Island deputy. Now go shoot any of those bastards who are still here.
I chuckled and went out to the right shoulder of the road, waving for Tom to come behind me. I didn't want him in my field of fire. The search, however, was anticlimactic. None of the bandits remaining were alive, including two that now had cars on top of them. They were well and truly dead. We met back at the police cruiser and the chief waved the backhoe forward. There was a screech as it swapped a small amount of paint going around the Suburban, and then it plowed into the mass of cars with its plow blade.
Told you didn't want to park there,
I said as the Suburban's owner went to take a look at the damage done to his vehicle.
Thanks,
Tom said, wiping away a speck of dust from his hood. The police chief walked up.
Nice bit of shooting, he said.
Do they all need one to the head?
I shrugged.
The ones that got one in the head didn't get back up again.
True, but that really isn't what I'm looking for from one of my deputies in most cases.
Maybe I shouldn't be a deputy.
I'll take that under advisement,
the chief said as the backhoe raised its blade, dumping a couple of the cars off the bridge.
Going to undeputize me?
I asked.
Nope.
Just said I would take it under advisement. Until we get everything set up, I kind of like your thinking.
Hey, the backhoe operator yelled. There's a body on the road. I almost ran over it. What am I supposed to do about that?
The police chief looked at me as if I might have an answer.
Scoop it up and dump it over with the cars, I yelled.
The operator looked at the chief.
You heard what the man said? The chief yelled. Just do it.
The man shrugged and did it, although he winced and flinched as the body squished into a car before he could get the blade under it. It doesn't pay to be squeamish in this fallen world.